Like Gerard the completionist, he's gonna, after the scandal thing, he's gonna come out as trans and be like, I'm complete, I'm doing both tracks in life. I'm gonna be a woman and a man at the same time. I'm gonna do every quest line.
Nice.
Well, hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew. I don't know how I'm going to clip it. Hello, welcome to the Weeb Crew. I'm your host, Psyotic, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Moomy. And after after the last 30 minutes of just venting our trauma to one another, which you can listen to on Patreon.
Trauma?
I guess all potential, the times we almost got groomed.
Oh yeah, that's traumatic because I missed the
opportunity. You missed your shot.
That was my chance.
How fitting for us to then, be talking about Tatsuki Fujimoto, what's the title, like 17?
Oh, so that's why we're transitioning into the, sense.
Or do you want to talk about, I guess we did watch Virgin Punk in the theaters. We keep seeing movies in theaters now. We're becoming normies.
Oh, so that's why we're talking about this, because we're Virgin Punk.
I'm going to go see, Angel's Egg in theaters this week as well. So I'm just going to the theater every week now, you know, it's just becoming a regular old activity for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to be going to see Angel's Egg in theaters this week. I need to save money now. I don't have a job anymore.
Guys, please donate to our Patreon and help Moomy pay for his kidney dilation. He's recently been laid off. Anyway, he really needs the money.
No, I guess terminology mattered. I wasn't late. I was just fired. It's fine.
Fired. Just looking, get the fuck out of here.
It was like, I'm tired of seeing you.
He was in fact fired because of this podcast. So again, show your support. He's getting up there in years too. He needs to raise money for his colonoscopy.
Hey, you joke. I will be posting more stuff on the Meme Crew account now. So this is true.
Hold on. How many fucking likes is that fucking ass post up to now?
Too many.
Oh my fucking god! 27,000 likes. Really is just that. Is it just that easy to just post like a anime ass on Twitter?
342,000 views.
Yeah, literally doing it sarcastically. And it doesn't matter.
You know what they say? Ironic shitposting is still shitposting.
I guess it really is. You know, intent does not matter on Twitter. Even though I'm literally quoting that fucking Chibi Reviews tweet, and I was low-key, hoping to get like, oh, people are gonna fucking like hate on us or whatever the hell. And the idea was, oh, they click on the profile and they see, oh, Fujimoto really said trans rights or whatever. And then it's like, oh, well, I guess I don't know what to fucking make of these guys.
No, it's Twitter. They don't.
It's just nothing. Yeah.
They see ass. They pick like. It's fine.
Click like, and they keep scrolling. I mean, I guess I do the same, but
yeah, you should know.
Yeah. Hold on, just scrolling through. Thank God, likes are no longer public. If likes ever become public again, we are so screwed.
I've looked through our likes; they're not that bad. They're not even like entertaining enough to talk about. It's just like, you know.
It's not like I'm liking. Like, you know, fecal matter shit.
I feel like a quarter of them are just fine Luigi. Like,
if that fucking Grums guy can be outed for making like softcore mud wrestling pornography with like fat women or something, I think we're totally fine. Do you know about that? Do you know what I'm fucking talking about? I'll explain this to you later so I get it right. I don't want to, like, look it up on the pod. It's something really fucking fun. And that'll show you what he looks like, and you'll be like, oh, it all makes sense.
We will be posting more stuff on Weeb Crew.
Maybe get some more videos, some more shorts or something.
If you ever wanted the Weeb Crew to be full-time, You have 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months of full-time Weeb Crew act. Maybe potentially more if it ends up working.
That's what I was saying. You got 6 months to make it happen.
6 months to make it work, baby. Let's fucking go.
Starts now. We're on the clock.
have like a countdown timer. That'd be funny.
6 months to make this a job.
I feel like that. I mean, that would be a, that's like a, that is just a YouTube video in and of itself. It's like, I have 6 months to make YouTube my job. If not, the pacemaker in my heart will die because I can't afford medical insurance.
That is just under a Mr. Beast video.
In Biden's America.
In Biden's America. That is just a Mr. Beast video. I have 6 months to make YouTube a full-time job.
if not, Mr. Beast will kill me and my family.
Yeah, so if we look back in any amount of time and then there's not more shit on the Weeb Crew account, we know I just killed myself. I don't know.
And I replaced movie with an AI. Who would you want to replace you on the podcast? Of the people we know.
Oh, I have to know. Oh, I was going to say Matthew McConaughey.
Or I guess anyone. Who would you, if you could have anyone to replace you on this podcast, who would it be?
Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
you think he'll contribute to any conversation?
Okay, and then if I die, I want to be replaced by Michael B. Jordan. So then the podcast is just.
I mean, Matthew, that would still be salvageable at that point. All right. If I get replaced by
that would be the appeal. It is Michael B. Jordan explaining anime to Matthew McConaughey, and he's just like,
"Oh no, we just both got replaced." Okay,
yeah, no, we both get replaced. I get replaced by Michael B. Jordan. You get replaced by Matthew McConaughey, and that's now the podcast.
The Weeb Crew just continues on without both of us. We go do other things. We're not even dead. We just go to something else. It's just Matthew McConaughey and Michael B. Jordan replace him.
Yeah, it's like when Steve graduated from Blue's Clues and someone new came in. You know, I think people would agree that'd be maybe a little bit of a downgrade, you know, going from us to, you know, two people who are pleasant to look at, and you know, charismatic and sociable. And stuff. Yeah. Famous, rich, you know. They can actually afford to record in the same space instead of doing so in a Discord call.
Just imagine Matthew McConaughey saying, "Welcome to the Weeb Crew podcast."
is there a way for us to like AI generate that?
I mean, we could.
As a kid.
I guess he did. He did lend his voice to that 11 Lab site.
Did he really? Okay.
Yeah.
Like officially. And, all right. I guess
him fair and Michael Caine.
And our guest today is Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Matt, as his friends call him, what did you think of Virgin Punk?
All right.
It's like we need a soundboard. It just has that. That's the only sound on it. Anytime we defer to Matthew McConaughey, that is all he has to offer on the subject matter.
Listen, we already got fucking Kanata by. We got enough of these fucking stupid bits. We don't need to add like Matthew McConaughey. Just have Matthew McConaughey standing in the background. And anytime we just say something, you just soundboard.
I'm going to need to figure out a way to just add like what looks like a cardboard cutout of Matthew McConaughey to the set. Just have him back there.
You say figure it out as if I didn't draw everything that's on the set.
Well, it wouldn't be a drawing. We would need to like get like an image of him and then incorporate just incorporate it in such a way that he just looks like a cardboard cutout there.
I mean, that'd be pretty. You just add an outline and just skew the image to make it look flat slightly.
That'd be fun.
That'd be a waste of time.
It'd be such a stupid fucking bit, and no one would know why unless they're listening to this episode specifically. Even then, it would only matter to people listening on YouTube because it's the only one that has any visuals.
True. Anyone that's listening on Spotify is just confused by fucking Matthew McConaughey just keeps popping up.
Do we want to talk about anime now?
Yeah, speaking of stupid shit, that's a waste of time.
I mean, it was a waste of time. I mean, maybe people in your theater disagreed. Everyone in my theater was like, I mean, I think some people were like, oh, it's only 30 minutes. All right. Well, oh, well, I guess we're here anyway. I don't think I saw anyone leave.
So, yeah, for full context, I went to this with both of my brothers because yes. I was like, I go to the movies with my brother all the time. I don't ever really invite my other one because he's not like super big in anime and he also doesn't live here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know,
you keep him in the doghouse out back.
Yes. But like, yeah, I'll invite him. He, you know, if he wants to come, it should be a good movie for him to go watch. Mm-hmm. So he comes along. I spend $45 just to go watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. $45 for three tickets basically.
For three tickets, yes.
Yeah.
I felt bad because I was gonna take them to eat beforehand, but I ended up being late for getting off work, mm-hmm. and then I also did not know it started at 6:30. I was thinking it started at 7, so basically we got there right when the movie started. So I was like, oh, I'll just go ahead and like buy popcorn, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I spent like $30 on popcorn and drinks for everybody. And then it was like 30 minutes long. And I was like, oh, this is the most expensive 30 minutes I've ever spent.
So for context, I mean, that's kind of the weird thing about reviewing anime like this when it's in theaters is because by the time we get to talk about it, it's already left theaters. So we can't just be like, by the way, if you're going to go see this movie, just know that it's like 30, 35 minutes of actual like anime. And then the remaining hour or so is a making of documentary, basically.
See, I didn't know that either. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Okay. I just assumed it was probably like an hour or so. Like I knew it was like six parts or whatever. Cause it said that they would make six episodes.
Yeah.
So I just assumed it was going to be like 45 minutes to an hour and it might be kind of short, but I was like, well, that's fine. I did not anticipate it was going to be literally like the length of an episode. And then it was like at the end, it was like, wait for the special features I'm like, oh, or bonus footage or whatever. I was like, oh, okay. So there's like some extra stuff, like kind of like the Look Back movie, right? Look Back movie had another interview. And so I'm like, okay, that's interesting. We'll just hang around. And we're watching.
Yep.
And we're watching. And my brother pulls out his phone and is like, this is going on for another hour. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's like, this is something that realistically only appeals to you in this scenario. You're like, I find this interesting and I can understand why the two of you are bored.
I find it interesting. I also, like, I've also known a lot of this stuff. So it's like, only mildly interesting. It's like, okay, I know that, but it's kind of cool to see their work progress, I guess.
But like, we also know how we have a general idea of how anime is made as well. Like the actual like production process. Obviously, if you're someone who is completely like unfamiliar with this could be very interesting. If that's something you are interested in learning about. And maybe that's the case for some of the people in my theater, because when I saw the movie, Before it played, there were some interesting previews because this was like a Fathom event or whatever. There was not like the normal like previews for whatever big fucking movie is coming to theaters or is in theaters or whatever the hell. Instead, it was a lot of advertisements for like conventions and then ANN and My Anime List. And I'm like, why? Why the fuck?
Yeah, I don't even know if they did that for our theater because we didn't make it in time.
Yeah,
for
you just got there late. I was like,
speaking of, I was pissed off that it took like 20 minutes for fucking Chainsaw Man to start.
Oh, yeah.
And then this fucking started on the dot. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with these theaters?
It's always inconsistent. And I think the way that I figured it out is that if it's through like Regal or AMC or whatever, and I go see the movie, then there will be like a buffer zone of like 20 minutes of previews. But if it's like a specific like event showing like through Fathom, then there won't be really that many previews beforehand. I think that's how it works. I could also be completely and totally wrong. But yeah. So it's only 35 minutes and it's not a complete story. And watching it, I was just thinking it would be funny if that was it. If it took 10 years to make 35 minutes of animation and has all this plot and it's just like setting stuff up and then it just doesn't get resolved and it's just like, I was like, oh, it really is just like an old OVA.
Yeah.
Like California Crisis or something, or it just ends partway through and they didn't make any more. But no, I think there's going to be, it's like, yeah, three parts or however many parts. I don't know if the remaining parts.
Six?
Do you think we got to put the remaining parts in theaters?
I hope not.
Or, if they do,
I just won't go watch them if they do. Like, spoilers, I guess, for my opinion. I didn't hate it. I thought it was fun.
Yes. It's like
really good visually.
If you miss like Kite and Mezzo Forte, then that's basically what this is.
Yeah. I don't want to spend more money to watch this in theaters again. So yeah. I'm completely content with just waiting till it comes out on Blu-ray or something.
I have given my financial support to this project. I'm glad it's a thing that exists. That, you know, Umetsu was basically just given totally free reign and 10 years to make this thing in order to satiate his insane perfectionism, it seems like, especially given,
well,
like,
well, sounds like they're going to, like, cut back on that, too, in, like, subsequent entries. Like, they're already talking about, like the guns shit. Aren't going to be, well, they're like, oh, you hand drew all the guns, and he's like, in this one we did. And like, yeah. What does that mean? That's imposing.
It's imposing. I don't think it'll totally fall off visually. I mean, again, would just kind of be like an old OVA if it did.
If it did, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's a great first episode, and just shits the bed completely after that.
I'm all for this resurgence of like the OVA boom. Throwing shit in theaters.
Yeah, in some sense. Obviously, like, OVAs are, like, direct-to-video stuff, and that doesn't exist anymore. But in terms of, like, what has replaced that is, like, streaming and stuff like this, where now you can just have a project like Tatsuki Fujimoto 17 through 26, and it's like, yeah, that doesn't make sense as a TV series. It makes perfect sense as just something that you can put up online on Amazon or wherever, and you're not beholden to the rigid structure or regulations of television or movies.
Right. Yeah, I'm all for it. Like, I'm all for putting more shit in theaters like this.
Yeah. Even if you don't want to go see it. What if the remaining two, like however many remaining parts come out, and they put the whole thing back in theaters,
like all at
like
once,
like as one continuous thing? Yeah,
probably wouldn't be against watching that.
Yeah, because I don't know what else. I don't know how else they plan on releasing this, at least outside of Japan. I guess
I had to explain that to my brothers. Because they're like, why do they think we want to watch this, like, behind-the-scenes shit for an hour? And I'm like, they put that in there because people would be pissed off if they spent $15 for 30 minutes and then...
No, it's not even that.
Just leave.
It's not even that. It's like, it literally could not be in theaters if they didn't do that. Because that's why it was such a thing when, like, getting look back into theaters. It's only, like, an hour long. And as a result, you know, they needed to, like, add some extra stuff in there in order to meet that, like, 80-minute minimum that you need to get to put something in theaters, because that's how theaters work for whatever reason.
In the West.
Yeah, at least in the West, yeah. In Japan, it's probably a little bit different.
Yeah, it was visually really good.
Yeah.
As expected, I guess. Like, it's very detailed.
It does have that Umetsu vibe of guns, extreme violence.
I think his style really does
uncomfortable nudity.
I think his style really does benefit from like cell animation, though. Like, I'm not really liked the visual style of like Galadona or like Wizard Barristers, all that. Like,
the characters are nice, that I will say about this is that, especially in like the outdoor scenes, it has a very like, it almost looks, feels too bright to the point of being overbearing.
Yeah.
And then you get these like really like harsh shadows on the characters, and it can be a little bit, it's something that works better in cell animation when you have a lot warmer tones because of like the nature of the paint in the film.
Yeah.
Versus like digital, where it's just all coming at you.
Galadona was not quite as bad as Wizard Barristers. Wizard Barristers was like gaudy as fuck looking. Like fucking main girl has like vibrant pink hair or pink purplish hair. Maybe like an orchid color, I guess. I don't know. That's a little dark. Never mind.
Yeah.
Was it Lily? I don't remember. Anyway. Lavender. That's what I was looking
at. Okay.
She's got like this like purplish hair. She's like a fucking vibrant ass neon green frog mascot sidekick. Like, it looks so like gaudy, like color wise to me.
Yeah.
This is not quite as bad. It is like almost equally as like vibrant, but I think they did like a better direction, like better as far as like color direction.
Yeah.
I think
indoor scenes work a lot better visually.
It was interesting seeing that they're all like CG.
Yeah. That is like a nice thing about like the behind the scenes thing. Well, you also have like the guy talking about the blood splatters on like the refrigerator or whatever, and talking about all the detail of it. And then you watch it and it's like, you can't even fucking see it. It's like her body is covering it up.
Well, that's kind of what he was saying in the thing. He was like, yeah, well, it's really just like a tech. Like, I literally just added the texture and didn't animate it or anything, 'cause you can't see it anyway. So like when she slides down, it just reveals the PNG. Just reveals it.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's clever. That's clever filmmaking.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think his style does benefit from being more like cell animated. That sort of color choices, I should say, like the vibrancy of it, it being muted by the paints and cells, makes more sense to me aesthetically.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then as far as like the story content goes, it's kind of hard to talk about because it's fundamentally incomplete. And the first like 15 minutes of this is just setup. And it's a fairly complicated setup too, when you end up breaking it down, like how, like when it gets to the actual story and what the purpose of the story is. And it's like for the first 15 minutes, things are constantly changing. It's like, now she's here, now she's here, now she's dead, now she's in her new body. And it's like everyone keeps dying and stuff. All this weird stuff happens.
Yeah, if you just watch this like as its own thing, I imagine people would just be very confused, because it's like,
yeah,
there's no like narrative arc, really. Like, it's,
there's
all
no
set
narrative
up.
Arc. There's no real payoff. It's all set up. Yeah.
It's just like, oh, OK, this lady got orphaned and then she got killed and turned into a slick slave. Okay.
And it's like,
what a story.
Yeah, it's like, imagine watching a movie but it's only the first act, like a revenge movie. Imagine like stopping like Kill Bill after the first 30 minutes basically. that's what this would be like.
Oh, I guess that's a movie.
I mean, but with the expectation that there will be more, I am interested in seeing more. If there's not more, I just think that's really fucking funny. I'm going to be honest.
This makes it better.
Yeah, like in a way, yeah, because it's like, you know what? Yeah, we're so back to just shitty things, like just being discontinued partway through. God, how I don't miss the 90s.
We're so back, baby.
We're so back. Terrible shit and all. I don't know. I mean, I would recommend watching it. I don't know how you're going to be able to watch it, because there's no plans for it to go on streaming. I mean, maybe it's online. Maybe it has like a physical release or something, or it's going to get one. I don't really know anything about this fucking movie or what they're planning on doing with it. It just kind of came, like, I was aware that it was coming out for a while, and it came to theaters, and I was like, all right, I'll go see it in theaters, and then that's it.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to things. I don't have object permanence, so, like, people had to tell me when something is put in the theaters. or else like it will air in Dallas in the Texas theater where I went and watched Modica Magica, the Rebellion movie. And I won't know it was there. And then people will be mad at me that I didn't watch the only time this movie was ever going to be fucking aired or like viewable in any capacity in the United States. And it was right down the fucking street. I couldn't go fucking watch it because I know it existed until like literally 2 hours before it started fucking airing.
That's on you. That's your fault. That's your fucking fault you missed out on.
No one told me. How the fuck am I supposed to know?
You gotta be fucking locked into this shit.
Locked into what?
This is our job as fucking like anime podcasters.
Did you know?
No, I did not. But if it was exactly in my area, I would have.
Okay, Dallas is not really my area. It's a bit of a drive. I still have to drive there.
It is like the largest metropolitan area in the U.S., isn't it? That or like I think it Houston. Might be.
It's at least like the largest, like two city.
I guess yeah, it is like Dallas and Fort Worth. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see. Largest. Kanata, what is the largest metropolitan area in the U.S. just by like square miles? So
I knew it.
There you go. So how dare you not be aware of everything going on in a total area larger than the state of Rhode Island?
Well, it happens. I don't know what to tell you.
If it happens, I don't know what to tell you.
But fucking Virgin Punk, was fine. I liked it.
I think it is fun to watch. If you're someone who is like, man, they don't make anime like they used to. Well, here you fucking go. Stop fucking complaining, please.
I feel like if they haven't stopped complaining by now, they'll just never stop complaining. Let's be real.
Yeah, even when they get what they want.
Even when they get what they want. Speaking of like the OVA boom, we also watched fucking Toski Fujimoto's 17-26 collection, the anthology series.
You want to know what else would be an OVA boom? If you put a firecracker in a woman's pussy.
That's an ovary boom, not OVA boom.
It's OVA would be like the plural term.
Well, then I think you're thinking of like OBGYN boom.
YN boom. No, that's the guy that reviews video games, isn't he? On YouTube?
No, that's Oni Plays.
Oni Plays. Okay. I thought that was
OBGYN Plays.
He's the one who remembers it, so I don't have to. Just like working at a nursing home.
He remembers every pussy he's ever worked on.
That's what nursing homes are going to be like in like 50 years. It just has like the nostalgia critic playing on the TV.
I'm the pussy critic. I remember them, so you don't have to.
You know the fucking like caretaker albums, but instead of like sampling old ballroom music, it's like YouTube videos like that.
Oh my God.
Anyway, yeah, Toski. That's Ki Fujimoto. What did you what do you think about this overall before we get into the individual shorts, I guess?
Overall, I think it is greater than the sum of its parts. Like, I think we talked about this a little bit after I like individual one of these quite a bit.
Yes.
Which we'll get into. But I think overall, as like a sort of narrative of showing an artist's progression through his life and like his storytelling, mm-hmm. I think that elevates it a little higher than I would have probably just put an individual's like
then. Piece, and then if it right? was just like a regular anthology series with like a bunch of different creators and no sort of like auteur connection between them.
Yeah. No sort of through line.
Yeah.
I think that elevates it in a way that maybe not like a, because I think of like Neo Tokyo or like one of those fucking
the Animatrix
anthologies or Animatrix
Robot Carnival,
like them just having even like Star Wars Visions, like that just being like all Star Wars stuff, like none of it's, there's not like an interesting meta narrative, I guess, like outside right. of this is to me, like, I have to consume this as like a full thing. Mm-hmm. Cause like I could judge like my favorite one on its own and then say like, oh, I like this. It's a 7 out of 10 individually or whatever. Fuck, however right. fuck I want to do it.
Yeah.
But it's, I feel like you're losing a layer by not having them all kind of compiled together in this together. Like it's even kind of like formatted in a way that you're meant to watch them in succession with each other. Cause yeah. like we know, I noticed like, was it 6 and 7? Which is Wake Up as a Girl Syndrome and Nayuta, the prophecy or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were swapped.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are like not, yeah. The Nayuta came first. Woke Up as a Girl's Syndrome came after that.
Yeah, but they swapped it because of like
yeah.
the narrative flow or like the tone of the shows or whatever. So like even they are kind of considering it as like a one holistic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fucking fly.
Get the fucking dead body out of your room before you start recording.
Listen. Trash day is tomorrow. I can but yeah, I really liked it. Like it went by a lot faster than I anticipated. Like when we talk about it, after the second one, I was like, oh no. Cause like people online, I saw like some stuff around here and there that were like, it peaked at the first one. And like, I could see mm-hmm. kind of what I think they're talking about. Like maybe visually, it peaked. Cause like, I do think the later ones are still good. It's the most action
heavy one of the bunch.
Right.
The most hype moments in Aura.
The most Sakuga Fest one.
Yeah.
So I can see what they might be saying in that regard. But after we watch the second one is probably the weakest to me.
Yeah. The one where he catches the bullet.
Yeah. Both as like a production and as a story, it's the weakest.
Yeah.
So like I was like, oh no, this is gonna be a long ride.
They had
an
immediate drop. I had a similar kind of thing. Like, oh man, is this just gonna peak really early, and then the rest of these are just gonna be all right? Thankfully, that's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. It. I would say the second half, a little before the second. I guess like with Shikaku, like all of them but two, I would say are like good, like solidly good, and then the two that I don't think are solidly good are still like pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't care for the mermaids one as much either.
I actually liked that one. Probably because it's by, like, the same studio that did the Nayuta one.
Yeah.
So, like, visually, I think I really liked it. The story itself was kind of like, whatever.
Well, there's a great range in terms of, like, the stories going on here.
Yes.
Which is interesting to see as well. It's not all. Like, I was wondering, like, oh, is this all just going to be like action stuff with the first one? And that's really the only one that's like that.
Yeah, no, they're not. None of the other ones are like that at all. In fact, no. The last one's closer to fucking Look Back than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I really liked it. What did you think about it as overall?
I really liked it as well. I would say just as a holistic experience, I'm not in love with it like I am some other anthology projects that I've seen. But it is interesting to look at. And this is something we've talked about a number of times on the podcast now. Just like because between this and then the Chainsaw Man movie recently... before that, there was Look Back. Really, like, what was it? Like, this is like biblical levels of greed or whatever.
Yeah.
And like we are really
talking about in the Bible.
We are basically only away from like a Fire Punch adaptation and a Goodbye Airy adaptation. And then it's just like, okay, yeah, just everything he's going to do is just going to be adapted. Sure, why not? Fuck it.
If Fire Punch gets like a fucking crazy adaptation, I can see Goodbye Airy getting one because it's short. But if Fire Punch somehow got a crazy adaptation, dude is like fucking blessed.
Because that's like what, 5 volumes?
8.
8 volumes. That's like, that'd be like 2 core probably.
Probably.
Yeah, because like I usually think of like one volume of manga equates to, I mean, it varies, but like the heuristic half is like an hour of animation.
Reading wise, it's only like half an hour for me. But
reading wise, but yeah, but you like flesh, you like stretch stuff out in animation. Yeah,
pacing wise. You know.
So it's too core, wouldn't be unfeasible. I guarantee you there have been talks, you know, talks to like have it adapted and then just like, I mean, maybe it very well, there very well could be work could be underway right now and we just don't know. You know, what are they hiding from us? These are the questions that I want our viewers to be asking is, you know, what aren't they telling us? Are they adapting Fire Punch?
I imagine they probably haven't done it yet just because of the main character being on fire all the time.
Yeah, that'd be hard to do. That's a hard thing to make it look well.
Yeah, look good. A lot of studios probably just didn't want to like try and tackle it with like the CGI they had 10 years ago. Yeah. Because like it came out like 2016.
Yeah.
So I imagine they just didn't want to try.
Yeah, people are already like, very critical of CG and stuff.
Now they're getting to a point that they probably could make something work.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely need to be very hot. You don't want it to be One Punch Man season 3, because otherwise then everyone's going to want like try and kill you. I do have a theory, by the way, on that topic, that if they do a recap episode in One Punch Man season 3, I think that Nicholas Light guy is just going to like fly to Japan and fucking like shoot up JC staff or something.
What?
I think that could happen. I think it would just fucking snap. You know, like a fucking like roid rage fit and fly to Japan and blow up the studio.
What the
hell? They ruined One Punch Man. Madhouse, take a bet. I would say, going back to this, I would say that I really, really liked about half of them. And then the other half, I still like them, but I'm not like as big on them. So I would say that like the first one, like the two chickens clucking in a yard or whatever the fuck. I really like that
couple
one.
Couple fucking chickens.
I really like the vampire assassin one. Naito the Shikaku? Prophecy sisters, and then Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome. The three that I didn't really care for, the guy catching the bullet. I mean, I thought it was fine. It has like some interesting ideas, and really, I think the progression that you can see here with Fujimoto's writing is that he gets better at conveying ideas in a way that like makes more sense and feels more like fleshed out and layered. Like you look at like the first one, and it's basically something you would see like on like a middle schooler's drawing, given animated form. Basically, it has like that very like grungy, simplistic kind of vibe to it, where it's like these aliens and they're fighting and stuff. This one has a skull for a head, and this one is like a knight for a head and stuff. And they're like, they're transforming.
Would it be okay for aliens to eat people because we eat pigs?
Do you think he had like, okay. That really makes it seem like he had like an edgy vegan phase in high school.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, maybe not anymore. He ate that fucking fish.
True.
But then you get to something like Sisters at the very end, and it's just like there's like a lot more, like you said, it feels a lot like Look Back, and there's like a lot more layers and nuance that you can read into it, which I think is like the more interesting part of this as a whole, because then it's like the one for this, what is it, Love is Blind or whatever, that's like just like a very like simple, like this like high concept, like it has one joke basically, and that's fine.
It basically, like it was basically that fucking like little four coma thing that she drew in Look Back at the beginning.
Yeah, it has like that kind of
stupid car wreck, and they're yeah.
And then the one who catches the bullet just feels like, I really am just angry right now. I really wish I could just catch a bullet. So I wish someone would fuck with me right now, so I could just catch this bullet, and then I'm gonna go to the moon and find my dad.
Man, that would be a crazy way to end that Korn Freak on a Leash music video. Do you think he was thinking about that when he caught the bullet?
I absolutely, you know, like I said, you guys are about the same age, so it's plausible.
maybe that was part of his edgy vegan phase was listening to Quora.
I mean, like we said, talking about the Reese arc, you know, it really seems like he saw Fooly Cooly at a young age, and that definitely seemed to have affected him. So
that or Mary Poppins.
I mean, I know, because I think someone was like telling us, like, after that episode came out, that like he, like, Chainsaw Man can be thought as like a dark version of Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, he did say that. I mean, honestly, I associate Fire Punch with Fooly Cooly more than Chainsaw Man, if I'm being real.
I could see why, in terms of that almost like devil may care kind of just throwing everything in, like, just like, these are all the things that I like kind of approach to storytelling.
I guess Chainsaw Man seems like it has more of a narrative through line than Fire Punch. Mm-hmm. Fire Punch was like, just, oh, I'm gonna go get revenge. Oh, that's kind of by the way. So I don't know what's happening anymore. Just loosely connected by these like themes and meta theme ideas or whatever the fuck of growing up in life and just working through things like breaking up or whatever the fuck.
And then. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, the mermaids one I also just thought was all right. I thought it's interesting that a lot of these don't have particularly bad endings. Like, I thought that's how like the mermaid one would have ended, or like the Naruto one would have ended. Like, I was expecting like the mermaid one is like, oh, he's gonna get a nosebleed and then just get devoured and in like a really like fetishistic way. That would have been cool.
I did say that. I was like, I'm just waiting for it to like, oh, I pricked my finger and you just hear like a bunch of hissing or something.
Like, that would have been awesome. Instead, he just gets a mermaid harem at the end, which again, very simplistic storytelling
get into like talking about like specific ones since we're kind of getting into it, but we're not actually talking about them yet. So a couple of clucking chickens, the aliens take over the planet one. Would you rank any of these?
Let me think. This one would probably, this is one of the ones that I like the most. I think it's probably closest to, Shikaku, or like the vampire one for me, in terms of like overall. So it'd be like probably Sisters, Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome, Naota of the Prophecy, we'll say, yeah, the couple of clucking chickens, Shikaku, then
those clucking chickens,
Love is Blind, mermaid, the mermaid one, and then Caught a Bullet, is how I'd probably rank these.
I feel like aesthetically this kind of reminds me of Tekken King Creed, with like the two main characters.
I can kind of see that.
Like, not, well, it's not is, like it, that close, but it's just like, just the kind of visual of them, like grungy kind of like.
And you know, like, well, like the main girl's like running around with like a cape and stuff as well, which also feels like very, very almost like Chuny-esque to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, like, this was, like we were saying, it's a very simple story.
Yeah, this was the one that it seemed like they're like, okay, we can't really do much with this stylistically in terms of like something like the Love is Blind one is very simple too, but like,
right,
there's more engagement as far as like the idea or like the story.
Yeah.
So you could do a bit more like direction wise to make it entertaining. Whereas this is like, it doesn't really have anything like that going on. So like it feels like they went like, okay, we just need to make this like a soccer fest.
Yeah. It's if there's one short in here of this bunch that where the term carried by animation applies, it's this one.
Yeah. Like, it's, the story is very, again, like you said, it's like middle school writing wise.
Right.
It's just like, okay, aliens come, they like human culture, they like eating humans, they eat all the humans and they've just replaced us in our homes.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very weird because like you compare that to like what his later stuff is, and like there's similar like through lines of ideas, but it's nowhere as near as explored in this. So it's just like,
yeah,
kind of just like a non sequitur. It's like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not really exploring what that means. And then like the whole, maybe it really is wrong to eat humans, but, you know, let everyone know that a human and an alien were friends for some time. It's like, okay.
Okay. And then it ends. And
that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Like the most memorable part of it is just like the very over the, like the animation in this is so much fun to like watch, where he's like punching this giant like skull demon thing into a mountain and stuff. Like it's very like what we talked about with Chainsaw Man. It's very striking imagery that it makes when you see it in animation very fun to watch as a result, even if it feels very, it was like watching wrestling to an extent where it's like, yeah, this is stupid, but it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, the twists were just really like, okay.
Oh yeah, well, sure. Well, as like twists, sure, but in terms of like hype moments and aura, they're really awesome.
It just has some really good visual. Like, I don't know how much of these were like in the manga, the one shot, like the,
yeah,
the alien standing over the little girl that they used on like the cover.
Yeah.
That's a really good visual. Mm-hmm. Really the idea, like it's an interesting idea of like aliens, like eating people in the street or whatever. It's kind of like a weird extension of like Gantz or something.
Well, I was thinking like the scene where you see her like filming it on her phone reminded me of Signs, like the
Signs.
Yeah. You know, like the scene in Signs where you briefly see the alien like walking around and stuff, like that felt very specifically like, obviously in Signs they're not eating people, but that's like the vibe that it had.
Yeah, I can see like the shaky cam footage and stuff.
Yeah.
This does just make me think of Gantz and like, the aliens in this are like cool,
but they're like, all over the place design wise.
They are, yeah, you got like the weird yellow, at least when they're like transformed, their designs are cool.
Yeah. Which like the idea of like, oh, these aliens can transform, it makes no sense. There's no real reason for it apart from the fact that it's cool.
It's just cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it acts as like a set piece for the action.
Yeah, I think this is very much carried by the production. Has some like cool, like you kind of see like the aesthetic sensibilities at least starting to form. I do like this. It'd probably be like around the middle for me.
Maybe same. Like yeah.
Fourth or fifth maybe.
Yeah. No, that's about the same for me. And then we get move on to what is it just like some who caught a bullet? Someone caught a bullet. The main guy Sasaki caught a bullet.
Stopped a bullet.
Sasaki stopped a bullet.
Sasaki
stopped a bullet. Okay. Which,
yeah.
Again, it's even though this is why I think those like both are like least favorite, there are some interesting ideas here. It almost feels, I mean, with the teacher saying that she's a god or whatever, it almost felt like Haruhi-esque in that regard.
As far as like the perception of reality thing.
Yeah. And like,
or are you talking about like specifically like a character that they like being a deity in the show?
Well, there's layers to it in that regard. Cause there's like this kind of like obsession or like deification kind of thing going on as well. There's this idea that, you know, nothing is impossible. It's just that we, you know, discard anything that looks close enough to zero as being impossible. Again, a lot of like weird ideas that are all kind of coming together in a way that they don't quite all fit together. The thing. And it has a lot that it wants to say and is not necessarily the best at expressing it.
How can you say it's impossible for someone's ghost to be on the moon? Have you been there?
Like, well,
I guess not.
I guess I guess not. So I'm just going to go to the moon now.
We'll go to the moon,
which is the cover of the manga. Cause again, it's a very striking visual. even though this is my least favorite, I wouldn't say that it's bad. It's just not.
No.
It's very unrefined, and it does not have the production doing a lot of the heavy lifting like the first one does.
Yeah, this was probably the weakest production-wise.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
But yeah, this was... I kind of got what you meant about like the perception thing, perception being reality thing we're watching. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm a god, and that's, you know, it sounds insane to you, it's not to me. And they do the whole thing where at the end he's like, how did I stop that bullet? Oh, it's because I'm a god. And he's like, I've been stopping bullets all. And it's like, okay.
Again, some sort of idea is there. It's just not particularly refined yet. He hasn't quite figured out how, like, these more abstract concepts, quite how to communicate them in a way that makes sense without necessarily just outright saying what the idea is.
Right. Yeah, this is the least interesting one of the bunch.
I don't know if I would say it's the least interesting as much as it is like the least well put together, if that makes any sense. Because, like, again, there are some interesting ideas here. It's just that they're not, again, they're just not very refined.
Right. But yeah, this is my eighth.
Yeah. And then so I guess similarly lowest, pretty low for us would be Love is Blind, which... I mean, I don't think this one is particularly interesting. I just think that it has a single idea and it does a better job at executing that single, very simple idea. Where it's basically just like, you're so caught up in trying to confess to a girl that you're not noticing anything going on in your periphery, basically.
Or you're just kind of like trying to like put it off because it's like, oh, the entire destruction of the planet or being mugged is secondary to... Yeah. The nervousness you feel confessing your feelings.
Which, again, good idea. And he, I mean, it's not the best executed, I would say, because it's not, it still, at least for me, doesn't quite capture that feeling, but it is a very funny joke. And this is like one of the shorter ones. It's only like 10 minutes. So it doesn't overstay its welcome, which is another nice thing about this being like an ONA, is that these can all have very variable lengths. They don't all need to be 20 minutes. I don't think this would work for 20 minutes. It had, like I said, has one joke, one idea. It does it. It's funny. That's it.
That's it. This is, I did peg the director as being from Shaft though, when we were watching.
Yeah, this is, it is shamelessly Shaft-esque, which is like, more than you could say about, Sasaki Caught a Bullet. This one does have a more, it's the same studio, I believe, but this one has a much more interesting visual presentation style. Even though it is still like very limited in its animation, it's doing a lot more like weird, quirky stuff with the direction that is fun.
You do get a head tilt.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah. Get like there's even some like Shaft-esque like title cards throughout as well.
Yeah.
Which also adds like a layer of like enjoyment to watch because it is just so like silly with how it handles that. It doesn't necessarily tie into the themes of the story per se, but you know, it does just add like another thing to appreciate about it.
Yeah. But it's like seventh. It's the second worst.
Yeah. Not bad. Just not one of our favorites.
But then you get Shikaku, which I think might be your favorite.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. You seem to really like this one particular shot you posted on Twitter.
Well, it seems like a lot of other people also really like that shot. So,
yeah, a lot.
Again, but
27,000 people, to be specific.
27,000 likes. So, 7,000 bookmarks. But again, this one is a very, very simple concept, but it's the execution here is getting better. And I mean, also the production on this one, I would also say is just better, where like the idea is, okay, we have this assassin. He's kind of a sociopath. He doesn't really understand right from wrong all that well. Abusive upbringing. She has been assigned to kill a vampire. This vampire hires her to get her to kill him because he wants to die. And she can't figure out how to do it and ends up falling in love. What a wholesome story.
It really does go to show you that there's someone for everyone out there.
Yeah. Which I think it does a better job than something like Love is Blind in terms of just taking these like simple ideas and then just ramping them up to 11, like to the point where she's proclaiming her love from like the rooftop while getting like shot at, her ear gets blown off and stuff. I'm like, that's it. That right there is how you fucking do it.
That's how you do a love confession.
Yeah, that right there is how you fucking convey that emotion.
Girl was really cute. She's voiced by Kanahana Zawa. You know?
Yes, yes.
That's about all it has going for it, I think. It's just cute girl being kind of psychopathic. Don't really get anything out of the guy. He's just a vampire guy.
Well, it shows that he's getting a better sense of like understanding like what appeals to people, and like the kind of like incorporating these sorts of like moe elements into his characters in order to make them like, you know, more appealing and more attractive and stuff. Which, you know, you don't necessarily have that in the previous ones quite as much, or even at all to some extent. And here it feels like he's much more, you know, it almost feels like he's playing a little, he's getting smarter about playing to the audience, essentially.
He's fine tuning the moe.
Yes. Yes. And again, like, I think that is the main appeal of this one, is that it is just like, it's very cute. It's very over the top. It's very funny. Seeing like this girl being like, what is this feeling I have in my chest? And she's like arching her back and shoving her ass in the camera and stuff. It's like, I want to see what that looks like in the manga, because I guarantee you it also just looks just as fucking deviant.
People were saying in the comments that it wasn't that deviant.
Okay.
But it was like maybe. Concocted by the animation staff.
Maybe. I'll have to check it out then. But still, like, yeah, just very, very fun. Very over the top. This one also looks pretty good as well. Much better than like the second and third one, I would say. So this one's like in that like fourth or fifth slot for me. I could swap it. Like, it's like basically on par with the first one, I'd say.
This is like five. I think the first one's four. This would be five. And then six would be Mermaid Rhapsody, probably.
Yeah, I don't really again, there's like some interesting ideas here. The character, like, he's like fleshing out the characters more in terms of their backstory. I mean, you also got that a little bit with like Sasaki Stopped a Bullet, where he's like trying to, like, you know, his dad had this dream of going to the moon or whatever and then died before he could. So he's getting he's incorporating more of the characters' backstories into this as well. And here you see like his like mother it was a mermaid. His dad is kind of despondent. He's like, you know, skipping school, and his dad just doesn't really seem to give much of a shit about anything, because his mother, who is a mermaid, is dead and stuff. So he goes down to the sea and plays piano and ends up pulling some fish pussy along the way.
A lot of it.
A lot of fish pussy, you know, just hauling it. He's going to need a bigger boat, harem. Really.
They cast a wide net.
It's all right. It's not one that I'm particularly enamored with, is what I'll say.
Girl's cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. Them connecting over music is an interesting, fine idea.
And then there's like an interesting sort of like twist on like the mermaid idea of like seducing people with like their music, and he is now seducing the mermaids with his music. kind of some weird fetish stuff there with them, like, all, like, taking turns blowing air into his mouth so he doesn't drown.
Feels very Fujimoto.
It's just, it moved on from blowing air to his mouth into just straight up vomiting into his mouth.
Yeah. I don't know, I don't think any of these are really as deranged as his stuff would end up getting. Now that I think about it.
What is interesting, because Fire Punch is like a published manga that was like serialized in Jump Plus. So you would almost feel like there he's like more tempered, and then these are like would be more insane because he doesn't have like anything holding him back.
No. No.
Well, just... I guess there is an argument to be made that because this is earlier in his career, he has a lot more to prove. Whereas, you know, by the time he gets to like Fire Punch, he's like, all right, well, I'm here. Let's see what I can get away with.
Damn, it is crazy to think that he was doing this for like 9 years before Fire Punch.
When did Fire Punch start?
2016.
Well, that would have been like 5 years. It started in like, well, no. Hold on. Wait, when were these published? Hold on. Let me pull this up real quick. Because I think the first one, like it says like between the ages of 17 and 26.
So the Mermaid Rhapsody one was the last one before Fire Punch. That was 2014.
Okay. Well, wasn't like, hold on. Let me see. Works. So yeah, these were like published in like 2011. Like a couple of Clucking Chickens was published in 2011. Obviously would have been older than 17 at the time. So I imagine this was just something that he had that he submitted, and that's when it got published. I don't know. I guess I didn't really research. I didn't really think that deeply about the chronology of this.
The career timeline of Tatsuki Fujimoto.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. I don't have much to say about that one.
Whereas Mermaid Rhapsody, not Mermaid Melody.
Mermaid Melody.
Do you think he knows about Mermaid Melody? Is that why he named it Mermaid Rhapsody?
When did Mermaid Melody come out?
2002, 2003-ish.
Maybe he was like a fan as a kid or something. I don't know. And then after Mermaid Rhapsody, we get the last three, which I think are all really strong. I would say that Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome might be my favorite, like presentation wise.
Because you're woke?
No, I think just like the directing and overall visual style of it is the most enamoring. I'm not fucking woke.
So you're just really into the title Woke
Up. No, actually, I hate trans people, believe it or not. Oh. Yeah. I'm what you call, well, I hate trans women. I'm what you call a trans inclusionary radical misogynist.
Well, that makes sense because you hate yourself, and you were talking about transitioning earlier, so.
This is true.
It would only make sense that you would transition to something that you hated. I don't hate myself nearly enough. I must change myself.
All right.
Oh my god. Cut that.
Bleep that one out.
Yeah, Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome.
This one is interestingly. It's also one of the shorter ones.
It's only like 10 minutes, 12 minutes?
11 minutes, yeah.
Interestingly, not as. It's like a typical kind of gender bent story.
Yeah.
Except that he it feels like it's like a bit cynical about it.
Well, it emphasizes like the Kafka-esque metamorphosis body horror that would be.
Well, I was saying that, but also like the reaction people have. It's like if people hated you or thought you were like some effeminate femboy or something before.
Yeah,
their opinion is not going to like better just because you're a girl. Now it's going to be like, oh, well, now we can fuck you. You mind if we just like gangbang you or something? Like their bullying just like doesn't cease. It just now changes to sexual assault. Like, yeah. Oh God.
No, it does a great job at being profoundly uncomfortable.
It's like Onimai. If he didn't just change identities, he had to go to school as a little girl. And everyone's like, oh, we fucking hate you.
Well, it's like the anti Onimai in a sense where. you know, Onimai, the joke is, oh, he becomes a girl and it solves all of his problems. And this is more like not having your body align with, you know, like your gender in your head is a profoundly uncomfortable and unpleasant. Like, you know, this isn't like even like a trans specific thing. I think like if you're like a cis guy, for example, and you're just a dude and you wake up and you were a girl and suddenly you didn't have your penis, I feel like that would be weird. I feel like that would be like, oh God, I don't like how this feels. You know, it's not something that like you need to be trans in order for that conceptually to resonate with you. Obviously, if you are trans, this is going to hit a lot closer just in terms of like personal experience, given the subject matter, which is very funny seeing people try and deny that when it's like, it seems so obvious.
Listen, if I woke up as an anime girl, it'd be fine. If I had to wake up as a real girl, I don't know. It'd be kind of weird.
I don't know. You're now waking up without a penis, and you are now lacking a dimension. You are now flat, 2D.
Yeah, but the world is now lacking a dimension, so it's all just kind of more, you know, Flanderized. No. I just get all I just get to go eat tea and cakey. I could do with being a two-dimensional girl.
But a 3D woman, that's a bridge too far.
Listen, I have nothing against 3D women. I've already sorted my own fucking fault problems as a 3D guy. I don't need to start trying to figure out my problems as a 3D woman.
No, that's how you 100% life. That's why
reincarnation's all about.
You know, like Gerard the Completionist, he's gonna, after the scandal thing, he's gonna come out as trans and be like, I'm complete. I'm doing both tracks in life. I'm gonna be a woman and a man at the same time. I'm gonna do every quest line. I'm pumping myself with both estrogen and testosterone all at once. I'm vax-maxing even. Pump me full of all these pharmaceuticals. Let's see what fucking happens. I want to become the monster in Akira. I don't know what the fuck
we're talking about anymore. Woke up as a girl. I do like that he is pushed to become more manly because he is a girl and like now has to like... Because he doesn't just have the benefit of being a guy, like physically, to then fit into the role of being his girlfriend's boyfriend, he now has to perform as being a man, which is kind of interesting.
There's a lot, again, well, this is like where we start seeing like he's getting like a lot more ideas and is able to work them into a story much more efficiently, it feels like, where... Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the characters will, like, outright say certain things, but then, like, there's a lot more that you can then read into that as a result. It's like, what is, like, the last line of it? It's like, it wasn't until I became a girl that I realized I had to be a man or something.
Something like that, yeah.
No, that line goes hard as hell. I also just love the stylistic presentation of it. It's a period piece as well. It takes place in 2000, and I love how, like, they convey that. By they take the
she has a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, well, they take the title of it where it's like 17-26 and they basically turn it into 2025 and then they wind the clock back. And then you all like the 2000-isms, like the Tamagotchi stuff, like the aesthetics of the room that they're in and stuff is all also just really cool to see. And again, it adds like another interesting layer in it to chew on.
Yeah. I really like the shading in this one.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just kind of like this weird, like neon pink lighting thing, but then also like just it's like two tone shading.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, and you get these like really like dark shadows as well. That also just like makes stuff like that classroom scene feel so uncomfortable. Mm.
It almost kind of reminds me of something specific visually, now I'm thinking about it.
Think harder.
Maybe like a hentai. I feel like there was like a hentai I've seen at some point that like looked similar in that. Unfortunately, I'm not a very like large hentai connoisseur, so I can't remember what it was.
We should have asked this last episode when we had Richard on. I I would say, yeah, this is probably my second favorite overall between the stylization and like the different sorts of ideas. And again, it does a lot despite only being like, I think it is the shortest one of the bunch. And I feel like it does. Yep. Yeah. It does a lot in that runtime. I don't want to say it does the most. We'll get to that. But there is like a lot to read into that I really liked.
It's top three easy.
Yeah,
I don't know if I like this more or less than the next one.
Nayuta of the Prophecy?
Yeah.
I would say I like Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome more, even if only slightly. I think that what Nayuta of the Prophecy has going for it is like a very strong, like, emotional resonance. It feels actually very similar to the first one, where it has like this, like, I have this, like, you know, little girl that I need to protect kind of vibe going for it. But now it's tying in just a lot more in terms of like that emotionality, the difference. Well, you have
the moral dilemma now, because like you had the whole prophecy where it's like, oh, she's gonna destroy the planet or whatever. Yeah. And you were like engaging with her in a way that you don't understand fully. She does seem very unhinged. Like, she's throwing fucking dead animals at you all the time. And you're like, oh, this is kind of weird. And then she shows that she has the propensity to like just kill things indiscriminately. And also has the potential to actually just end the planet. And you're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe this is not a great idea. But you have like this like weird sense of like obligation because you're their sibling, and then you're kind of like obligated to like protect them or whatever. So it does have an interesting like moral dilemma to it, because like if you think about it, if like you had a sibling and your sibling could like destroy the planet and like kill all of humanity or something, like, yeah, your initial thought is probably like, oh, that probably isn't gonna happen. That's kind of bullshit. And then like you start seeing like, oh no, they actually could. So that then adds like a weird layer to it, right? Now it's like, oh fuck, there's an actual dilemma here.
It's a more wholesome Sayonara.
Yeah. Honestly, she's probably cuter than Saya, to be honest.
Oh, the girl, she's so fucking cute in this. Again, that goes back into like he's like getting better at like incorporating these weird moe elements where you have, I mean, obviously, like, the horns, the fucking dragging in dead animals, the fact that she just says, like, death, destruction, genocide, disembowelment, you know?
Pestilence. Disembowelment.
Again, all incredibly, all very, very cute. And in a similar almost sense to something like an angel's egg, it does kind of, like, touch on this, like, feeling of trying to, like, connect with a child that you don't really know how, but you're trying to like figure it out. And you know, it's obviously there are like a lot of like stumbling blocks on the way, because I mean, though he is like her older brother, he's also basically her foster parent, her guardian, essentially. He's the one tasked with raising her. That's basically what the story ends up being about, is him realizing like, no, I'll do a better job at like disciplining her, so this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. It's like balancing. You want what's best for them.
While also they need to like take some responsibility for their actions.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cute.
Yeah.
This one was carried. I think it was carried a lot by Nayuta.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, also the presentation is really strong as well. But yeah, Nayuta is just such like a cute character that you kind of just instantly like it triggers that like I need to protect feeling in your head, and like subliminally.
Was this the Kevin Pankin soundtrack one?
Yes, it was. The Kevin Pankin soundtrack also goes really fucking hard.
It when it started, like the opening shot, very reminiscent of like Chainsaw Man's like hallway thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then the music combined, I was like, oh, this is just like a Silent Hill thing, what the fuck. And then like nothing else after that sounded like reminded me of Silent Hill, but
just like that first sequence, like, specifically.
Oh. Yeah, where she like throws the fucking rabbit at him in the fucking alleyway. It's like, oh,
it'll be interesting, because we were talking about this in kind of like vague ways, because there's also a character in Chainsaw Man, the second part, called Nayuta, who fulfills like a similar kind of role in the story. So now that you're unemployed, you should read Chainsaw Man, and we can get back to that.
I started reading it. I didn't really want to read the stuff I'd already watched, though, so I might just go.
Yeah, just go and see through. Like where the Rezark ends.
Yeah, like I was like, it'd be good for me to do that so I could like see how it differs and stuff. But I'm like, I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah,
like I read up through where they like start to go get Power's cat, and I'm like,
Oh yeah, with like the bat demon.
Yeah, they didn't have the muscle demon in the anime, so that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I've read like however much Chainsaw Man. I'm not the biggest fan of it. Granted, I only know what's going on in the manga right now just through my fucking Twitter timeline, general osmosis. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. I guess I'll get to that at some point.
That's crazy, dog.
That's crazy.
As much as I like Fire Punch, you think I'd be more. I guess I do kind of want to read it, but I also like have seen it, so it's kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Just go from where the anime left off.
Yeah,
it probably won't take you that long. It's not that long of a manga. It's less than 200 chapters, I think.
Yeah. I mean, part one's there wouldn't be that many chapters left.
No. They're like almost. I think a little bit over halfway through part one. I think there's like two arcs left. So now I think, is this your favorite as well? The last one, Sisters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah,
that's my favorite.
it's the best one. Because I think this is like where you fully like see him like, okay, yeah. And now he has like, he has all of these ideas and he knows how to incorporate them into a very simple story in like that has like layers on multiple levels. And then you see him do this more because obviously Sisters is about art. You see this like even like you can go even further with this in Look Back as well. And this feels very reminiscent of Look Back.
Yeah,
this one also came out before or like when did this one come out? Hold on. Let me see, because this was like around the time. Yeah, so this would have been around the time of Fire Punch. And then when did Chainsaw Man start? Was that
Fire Punch would have been publishing? Yeah.
Yeah. When Chainsaw Man started, like what, 2019, 2020? Let me see. It all started in 2018. Wow. Yeah, now you kind of like have him like he's like fully in swing as a publishing author, which also I guess also would have been the case with Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome as well. And this one is like I would say that this one and then probably Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome are the two that I would say are like legitimately great. Also, what's really funny, by the way, is that to just explain the premise, it's about two sisters at an art school in Japan, and the younger one does a painting of the older one completely naked, and I guess it like wins some competition at the school and is like now up, hanging up in the school for a full year. And the anime is completely uncensored, mind you. There's a scene later on where the older sister is now drawing the younger sister naked, and we just see her fully naked. Whereas if you go onto Annie-List and you pull up the Sisters manga, the cover is censored. And it's like, what are we doing? What is this fucking stigma around nudity? Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, this one was pretty great. Yeah. It's definitely where you can see like his coverability and like being able to convey characterization and like progression just through character interactions. It's really starting to like form, like her talking to her sister, very, very kind of like rudimentary compared to like something like Look Back, like her talking to her sister and like kind of starting to piece things together as her sister is laid bare, technically, like literally,
yeah,
and kind of piecing things together for herself, like is really well done. The twist of this one at the end. Where, because like the whole thing is like she's like, oh, I'm gonna teach my sister a lesson by getting better at art so I win next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So then my sister has to then see what it feels like to be laid bare and like have your naked body in front of everyone in the school for a full year.
Yeah.
And then at some point she like comes to terms with herself being on display and does not want to, she realized where her sister was coming from when she made the piece. Cause like the teacher is like, oh, we asked for them to paint their ideal, like what they want to be.
Well, it's
she
like
drew, painted you.
It's like that fan creator relationship that people talk about with Look Back. I feel like that is much more relevant to this one than it is Look Back.
Sorta. Yeah.
Because the whole thing is basically about idolization in a sense. You know, having someone,
I don't know if it's idolization necessarily, because like I think that's the whole thing with like her sister drawing, being able to paint her naked to begin with is like,
yeah,
she's like intimately aware of her, like she's perceives, that was the whole thing with the end, is she's like, she kind of realized like, oh, I wouldn't been able to paint my sister because I never looked at her. Mm-hmm. Like I was always looking ahead and my sister was always looking at me like the whole time. I never really stopped to look at her.
Yeah.
And so it's like her kind of like coming to that realization.
But her younger sister also has this very sort of like rose-tinted view of her older sister as well. And that's also what the painting at the end is about. Yeah. It's kind of like, no, I'm not as perfect as you think I am.
Yeah, the ending is kind of fucking funny, like in a very
it's very hilarious and also heartwarming and fucking degenerate all at once.
Well, she like paints a picture. It's foreshadowed. She's gonna paint a picture of her sister the whole time, and that's the foregone conclusion. And then at the end, it's revealed that she painted a picture of herself naked, and then like instead of doing this like kind of erotic pose that her sister kind of painted her in, she's just like spread out on a chair, like doing this mansplain fucking pose, like with her legs spread. She's like, this is how you draw someone naked.
It's so good. It's such a great payoff. It was
such a good fucking reveal. I was like, what a fucking Chad.
It's hilarious. It's absurd, but there's also so many layers to it as well.
Yeah.
It also touches on this like just really uncomfortable aspect of just being like exposed, not on your own terms as well. Whereas like there's like that kind of like feeling of violation that she needs to come to terms with at first, before she kind of, because initially it almost seems like her younger sister wanted to humiliate her, and then it's like a matter of like coming to terms with like, well, no, that's obviously not what's going on at all. And again, we get really strong building like backstory into these characters as well.
Yeah, I view them painting her naked as like almost like a coming to terms with it. Like, so she is able to then, it's a matter of like understanding, right? Like, so her sister understands her really well, is able to paint her because she's been watching her or whatever. And then she realized she doesn't understand her sister nearly as well as she thought she did.
Mm-hmm.
But she also doesn't feel like she understands herself as well as she thought she did. And she thinks, and then there's kind of this element of like her sister kind of understanding her a little bit better than she does, maybe. And so like her sister's pushing, like, why are you going to pursue a job? Why don't you try to be an artist or whatever? She's like, oh, I suck. And she's like, no, you don't. You're better than the rest of your class or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like her embarking on this piece to embarrass her sister, actually becomes like this exploration of the self, where she then is able to better understand herself and then is able to present herself in full through her painting of herself in the nude.
Can you imagine this as like a early mid 2000s ABC Family movie?
That sounds awful.
It sounds fucking terrible. You can imagine like a terrible version, can't you? Like, would it be a nude painting? It would be something else, obviously, something more family friendly. But her, I can definitely,
her in like footy pajamas or something.
Something else embarrassing. Oh god. Oh, it's a fucking cognito hazard. It's like me thinking about someone saying triple A anime the other day. Fuck. Ow. Ow. I'm getting a fucking migraine. Shit.
Well, you just spread this information hazard to everyone listening to this podcast. So congratulations.
And hooray. Hooray. I did think it would be really funny though. It's like when that final painting is unveiled, it just has like a massive fucking
the massive throbbing cock,
just like completely flaccid, it hangs down to the floor. I'm like, and she's like, see, now this is art. Fucking slaps her sister in the face and leaves. That's how it ends.
That wouldn't have been as good as the mermaid ending if they'd ate the guy.
That's true. That would have been a much better ending. I think that's because this actually has a really good ending. Yeah, and the ending I just described would suck.
The ending you described would be fucking dumb.
It would be fucking stupid. See, that's why I'm not a mangaka.
I do really enjoy seeing the progression of like his writing.
Yeah, from I think
fucking chickens to sisters.
It's really like it's not necessarily you are particularly aware of going from like short to short. There's no like massive leap. But when you compare the first one to the last one, there is like a very stark difference that is really interesting to see.
Well, even like us talking, like being able to like deconstruct and break down like each one, you can see like where he started improving on certain things here and there.
It would be interesting as well to see like the change in his art style looking at the manga version of this as well. I feel like that would have been something that would have been interesting to see, the like incorporate almost like a Japanese boy who draws kind of thing, or like you see like a more rough art style to be getting and then a better art style, like it improves as it goes on.
I guess that wouldn't. Well, I guess one
it would have been
like,
hell to
because
coordinate.
This is different. Yeah, well, this is like different studios doing each one. It would not have been great for like Clucking Chickens to have like the worst art style. You would basically be kneecapping the worst one writing wise.
Yeah.
So it's like it'd be interesting, but I'm good with what we got.
Right.
Honestly, I was really surprised by how much I liked this. I guess since it's a series, I am comparing it to other series this year. If this is an anthology series, but I mean, I ranked Young Animator Expo back in 2014, so I didn't have a problem ranking this one. I got it in my top five of the year.
Really?
Not including movies.
This might be in my top 10. I'd have to like sit down and take a look. I haven't like
not including movies. Not including movies. It would not be. Yeah, it would not be in the top five.
Yeah, that's why I need to like sit down and take a look and think about it. It probably is in my top 10. But yeah, I mean, go check it out. It's on Amazon Prime or whatever, or you can just fucking pirate. Who gives a shit about fucking anything?
I feel like people are like anyone that's been following this podcast is like, yeah, movies just becoming a Fushima.
That's been the arc over like the last month and a half or whatever it feels like, ever since you fucking read Fire Punch.
Yeah.
Like it started with Look Back, which was like a year ago, and then like progressed.
Yeah. I like Chainsaw Man. There obviously wasn't as much to like latch onto yet with just the first season of the anime. Look Back was really good. I really liked
Look Back was great.
We had Fire Punch, and I was like, damn, I see the vision now.
See the vision. Well, it's interesting too, because it's Tatsuki Fujimoto 17-26, but he's not involved with this at all apart from making the original manga. So it's like, and I remember when I saw Look Back, it wasn't that people there were anime fans. It was that they were specifically Tatsuki Fujimoto fans, and there was a good turnout in the theater specifically because his name has like an auteur brand recognition to it, which is interesting. And I feel like there are very few, like we've been talking about, there's very few mangaka, like at least in like the Shonen Jump space right now, that have that kind of street cred. I guarantee you, you know, someone like Horikoshi or even like Kishimoto, they did like a one shot or something, maybe that would grab more attention. But it really feels like Fujimoto is kind of in a unique position right now in terms of having these massively successful properties and then also these more niche artsy fartsy types of things going on as well.
Well, I did update, I don't know if anyone listening remembers those old stupid fucking enlightenment charts people would make. But I do have one for my taste. I did update it recently. Fujimoto did make it on there.
With what?
With Fire Punch.
With Fire Punch. Okay. Not Look Back.
Yeah. I might put Look Back on there.
Mm-hmm.
The Enlightenment chart one's a bit harder for me to like curate because it's manga, anime, and video games on the same chart.
Mm-hmm.
So it might replace something like fucking Hyoka or Lucifer and a Biscuit Hammer or something, but I don't know.
I'm looking at Kishimoto's output and it's Kishimoto? Almost entirely Naruto shit. Naruto and Boruto. Yeah. What about the author of Attack on Titan? Has he done anything? Attack on Titan's been like done for a while now, so has Isayama done looks like a story credit on something, but not art credit. Oh, this is I don't know what the fuck this is. What the fuck is this? Well, it's not something that it came out in January and did not get a lot of names. Something about AI and VTubers? What? AI VTuber debut?
Oh, no.
What? Yeah. You kind of see what I mean. In terms of, like, I'm trying to think of other, like prominent mangaka that, like, with, we'll say, basically since 2010. Attack on Titan started, like, what? Like, 2009. Still, close enough. It ran through basically the entirety of the 2010s. Like mangaka that have like started their career like relatively recently. Trying to think of some that have like this sort of like provenance to their name and they're doing like all these different things.
Oh, I need to put Pat Labor 2. What the fuck?
Oh, is Pat Labor 2 not on your alignment chart?
Apparently not.
You fucking hack. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Why did
you
put it on there?
You fucking idiot. Get some of that other fucking bullshit off there, you fucking idiot.
Maybe I'll take off Hyoka and Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer and put Look Back. And
get the fucking trash off there.
It is interesting because like there's not many creators that are on here multiple times.
Yeah.
It's like Taiyo Matsumoto was on here 3 times. Mamoru Oshii should be on here 3 times. Masaki Uwasa is on here 3 times. Yeah. Satoshi Kon's only on here 2x.
I guess that makes sense. His outfit is also unfortunately a lot more limited.
Isao Takahata's on here 3 times. Jiro Taniguchi is on here 3 times.
What about the author? Because JJK ended recently. I don't know if he'd have like a new series up at the moment, but it's also just since he started JJK, it's only JJK, and then.
I guess Aku Kishimba is also here 3 times.
Okay.
Monogatari, Madoka, and Sangatsu no Lion.
I do hope that this, like the success of this does also mean that we get more things like this in the future. That'd be the one thing that I really want to see.
Yeah, I guess it'd be hard to like coordinate that.
Yeah, but you know, just even like, it doesn't necessarily need to be like an anthology project of like these like things someone did early in their career. Just like adapting more one shots in general, I think would be a lot very interesting to see.
Yeah, I would enjoy that.
Yeah. Have anything else we want to talk about then?
Talked about being unemployed. Talked about Virgin Punk. Tatsuma Fujimoto's shorts. Talked about my enlightenment chart. I think that probably just about covers it all.
Well, there's that Moon Channel video.